When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are also part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. I'm Wole. I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Jeezy. What's going on, Ray?
All is well, but you know the story about Morgan State came out yesterday.
Yeah, I heard.
In terms of what happened with the shooting on campus, and now all homecoming festivities are canceled. This is the first time in school history, so it's pretty sad that right now Morgan State doesn't feel like the campus is safe enough to even hold public events. So my prayer really is for, of course, the people who are impacted by the shooting, as well as hoping that the person that is responsible can be caught so that way the school can get back to normal and have some peace, my brother.
Yeah, it sounds like a blowout, man. It sounds like the days when we was at college. It used to show when they would cancel homecoming. You know what I'm saying? Like
homecoming never got canceled.
Not canceled with a party. Was it a party? The party got canceled.
They canceled party.
They canceled, so they canceled the whole homecoming? Like the whole festivity? Everything's
canceled.
Damn.
Right now. And they said cancel and or postpone. So let's just say in the next 2 days they have a suspect apprehended. Then they're going to reschedule the football game because they have to. That's on the schedule. And then they can start to work around the dates. But this is the first time in school history, as I said. So it's unprecedented. So much money, so much went into it, but the student body was on board, the student government. It was a tough decision, but it was one that I understand. So definitely want to remember how important it is just to, you know, keep our folks safe and just encouraging people to be safe. But it's just a sad time that we live in where this stuff happens, unfortunately, and I don't really know how to prevent it. But, you know, Morgan State is HBCU. It's a historic one. All of them are, but I'm just saying it's a big one. We just want to make sure that we continue to keep them in our thoughts.
Bro. What's the I saw what happened, but what's the story? Was a student that this a student did all this, or
we don't know if it's a student? They haven't they haven't really released much information on a potential suspect, but it was four of the five people shot were students, all between somewhere between 18 and 22. Yeah, so it's no joke, man. But all non-life threatening, that's the biggest blessing that came from it.
That's a blessing. Everybody's gonna be okay. I mean, not just be all like whatever, but it's still bad, but it's a blessing.
No, of course. I mean, you come out with your life, man.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
That is sad to hear, to be honest with you, homie. Cause I know Will, we saw, we was talking about something else, right? And then like when Will mentioned that homecoming is canceled, I didn't put two and two together.
Oh, well, you know what I'm saying? Because, they broke that story earlier.
Yeah.
You know, we'll come out with the news
always. Super late.
West Coast time. But, in all seriousness, I know definitely HBCU game, they had it, like, almost right away. Shout out to them. And even Morgan's social media outlets, they put it out there prior to anybody really announcing it. The school announced it, and then the social media outlets announced the news. So, I mean, to me, it hurts for every HBCU when you see another one go through something like that. Not only is it violence, but you also have the biggest event in your school canceled. It just sucks, man. But they're going to come through it. You know, you've come through worse, man. That's why HBCUs are where they are today. And, hey, we're going to stay positive, brother. I'm just saying, we're going to shout out Morgan State, man. That's our folks.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
You know, we used to get at them on homecoming days sometimes when we was in school back in the day. We got to laugh a little bit, but real talk.
We got all love for him, man. Like, just the most important thing, man, I'm glad that no one was hurt. You know, I mean, no one lost their lives. Put like that, like, and I'm glad that no one lost their lives, because obviously there is a mental aspect of it to go through that situation, man. Hopefully, people get well, get right. You know what I'm saying? God is with you, so it is what it is, man. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. I'm going through all this, Ray. I forgot that you was here. That's all good. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene. And like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Hey, Ray, did I mention YouTube?
Yeah.
Did I skip that? All right. So
no, you mentioned it. It's just, you know, we kind of going off an old script because we're on YouTube live now. So it's not like hit us up on YouTube. Like if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm about to say, if you're watching off YouTube, yeah, subscribe to us, man. Hit that red subscribe button, like this video. You know, so but folks are watching this on, you know, just not just YouTube. They're on Facebook Live.
Yeah, no doubt.
They're on X Live. So I mean, so depending where you are, if you're on YouTube, if you're on Facebook Live right now, jump on YouTube, hit us with a subscribe button. If you're on X, jump on YouTube, hit us with a subscribe button. Regardless of the fact, and if you on YouTube, go to X and follow us. You know what I'm saying? If you go on Facebook and like us. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. It's all working together. Anyway, we'll see in the building. He would normally say this. It's time for the pregame. Let's get into our tradition. The pregame. Here's what we have on tap. All right. So we'll talk about the Washington Commanders losing a heartbreaker to the Philadelphia Eagles in overtime and tomorrow's Thursday night game against the Chicago Bears. We're supposed to chop it up with former Redskin linebacker Robert Henson. I think Robert's a little bit late, but I saw him retweet it. So I think he just recently retweeted something. So hopefully he'll jump on. At 8:25, we'll talk about Dame Lillard being traded to the Milwaukee Bucks and Drew Holiday being traded to the Boston Celtics. Just Blaze from the Above the Rim podcast will join us to discuss the trades. Then finally at 8:50, we'll talk about Canelo Alvarez defeating Jermell Charlo by unanimous decision Saturday night and Fury Usyk fight signed for late 2023 or early 2024. Wayne and Jermaine from the Adams Boxing Show will join us to discuss both boxing topics. All right, Ray, I'm going to ask you the first question. We'll talk about Sunday's game. Sunday, the Commanders fell to the Philadelphia Eagles 34-31 in OT. The Commanders were so close to hanging on. They were so close to hanging with the Eagles for a minute, and the Eagles to suffer their first loss, but they did not. Thoughts on that game, my man?
Before I give my thoughts, shout out to those who are listening now. I know you see the comments, Wole. Tap in, Cam was good. We appreciate
you. I'm seeing now.
Show. That's what's going down. Wole just made an appearance. Hey, listen, we appreciate you. And I'm not going to talk too much about this Commanders game because it's been discussed already so much in terms of moral victories and what this may mean for the team. Of course, they went into Philly and played the Eagles as about as hard as you can. We knew that was coming. Wole, we talked about it pregame that the Commanders were going to go in and they were going to approach this like any divisional opponent that they play against. They were going to play tough because most time you play against a division rival, it's always a game that you get up for. But Washington also had something to prove because they came off such an ugly loss and what a bounce back it was. So it's amazing that when you lose, you can come out with more positive vibes. And I'm wondering if people realize that a loss is a loss. You get beat 38-3, you lose by three. The next week, it's still a loss. Either way, it's an L and L column. But you saw more encouraging signs. Emmanuel Forbes, like he deleted his social media. I want to get people to like chill because
they extra, right? They extra, man. They extra.
He's a rookie. He's extremely talented.
Yeah, they extra.
And really, the coach didn't necessarily put him in the best position. There should have been some adjustments made. Danny Johnson's name has been thrown out there as someone who could have been put on A.J. Brown. I don't know
like
if
Danny
that
Johnson.
Was the right adjustment. Like right adjustment. We're talking about in terms of size. St. Juice, of course, as well. What was your thoughts on that, Wole?
I mean, I like Danny Johnson. I think he should play. I've always said Danny Johnson, it's because when we talk about HBCUs often, it's just where you come from, bro. Because I think once he plays, dog, he produces. It is what it is. But in terms of Emmanuel Forbes, you know, yeah, like you going against AJ Brown, you went against Stephon Diggs, you went against AJ Brown, you're going against the best of the best. This is something you're gonna learn from. I just don't like that people are getting on him early to a point where this is a young man and he gotta like get off Twitter, or X, whatever. Folks need to chill. Like they did this with Jamin Davis. Jamin like blocked a lot of people, like And y'all act why? Y'all act like y'all don't know why people want to leave the city. You know what I'm saying? When y'all act this way, let me introduce our guests.
But and before you bring Rob in, why is the word trash thrown out so freely these days? How can you call somebody trash
when they can't even do it?
They play against one of the top receivers in the league, and they're a rookie. Like I don't get it. I get so frustrated with fans. But go ahead, bro.
Yeah, well, let me introduce our guest. Right now, we have former Redskin linebacker Robin Henson on the show. What's going on, Rob, my man?
Not much, man. How's it going? Thanks for having me on, man.
Hey, thanks for being on, my man. So, Ray, we were talking about the game on Sunday. Washington, they held their own against the Eagles. I want to know your thoughts on that game, man. What was your opinion watching that game?
Man, I felt like, it was a typical home game in Philly. Crowd was out in full effect, but I think Washington did very well. Sam Howell impressed me with the amount of pressure that he saw, and he stood in there and delivered what I thought were some great passes. Very disheartening to lose that game by three. People get mad at me all the time because I always say I'd rather lose a game by 21 than three.
I get why.
Yeah, 100%. Because when you lose by three, you start thinking of the small details and the small plays that constantly on repeat in your head, what you could have done differently. You know, I shouldn't have stepped that way. I should have went here. But, man, I like where we are. I think we are going to split with Philly. I think we know that we are formidable in the division. Everybody wrote us off for fourth in the division, but obviously that spot belonged to them Giants. But nothing makes me happier than seeing Daboll's face throwing when he threw that tablet, because I mean, you chose to pay this guy over Saquon.
It's your own fault.
Him in the backside.
Yeah, it's your
but,
fault.
But with Diggs going down, even before Diggs going down, I still thought we were formidable to Dallas. So people writing us off, man. And I don't, we got a chance to come out, especially with Sam playing in what's essentially his rookie season. I mean, the way he's playing, Eric Bieniemy was definitely worth all the hype. He earned it and he lived up to it. So he did a phenomenal job calling that game. And, after last week's press conference, we were a little skeptical when he said all the things that he said after last press conference. But he came out and he proved it, man. So I heard y'all going in on about people talking about Emmanuel Forbes. I think the rookie's doing a great job. And A.J. Brown's a bad matchup for anybody, so. And that's the best way to learn, honestly, is to just get in there and do it, man. It would have been easy to put him on Devontae or somebody or try to hide him. But you in the NFC East, this is a division with elite receivers, jump right in. So, I'm looking at Washington's schedule going forward. There's no reason we can't be, 6-2 or 5-3 with this schedule coming up.
So do you think what would your message be to the fans though, to like who hate on him so hard to a point where he gotta like get off X? I hate saying X, but X Twitter, whatever. But like, what would your message be to them? Because I feel like that's something the fans don't understand. Like especially in today's generation and with like social media and whatnot. Sometimes you can like a player can ill on the fan base to a point where they don't want to be here no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, what would you say to the fans?
What I would say is, we ain't Philly. Calm down. Because we acting like Philly fans right now. They cheer you on when you're good, and the first time you make a mistake, the boo birds come out. The kid's a rookie. Give him a chance. He's a formidable corner. We thought he was small. We didn't see that draft pick coming. I was skeptical of the pick myself.
Yeah.
But after what I saw from him so far this season, I think he's going to be he's got a chance to be elite. Definitely great ball skills. Attacks the ball at the point of catch. I mean, he didn't back down from AJ.
Nope.
You can tell that, even when he gave up plays, he still came back. Like, I'm right here. So, you know, he got a little bit of that dog in him. So, you know, I see that. And I just tell the fans to calm down. And truthfully, you don't know what you're getting from a player until year two or three. So let's just chill. We got to put him in a position to make plays as well. So it's not all on the coaches and it ain't all on the players. There's a shared responsibility. And the people that are saying that, man, listen. they can't even catch the remote when it fall off the arm of the couch. Calm down. Relax.
Oh, wait. Speaking of the fans, there's been this controversy about whether, quote unquote, Riverboat Ron should have went for two. Sam Howell came through in the clutch. You talk about Forbes having a dog. Sam got that dog too.
Sam definitely got some dog in it.
On the road, divisional rival, and you come in clutch where no quarterback prior to him could make that throw. Up until this point, except for maybe Rob back in 2012, but big time stuff. And then Coach Rivera trusted his defense, and then you got the ball to start overtime. So I was cool with the decision. What were your thoughts on that
decision? Yeah, I was good with the decision, man. Like I said, man, if we had lost by 21, we would have had 10 questions. Mm. But we lost by three, so now we got 50. You know what I mean? So everybody, you know, want to go over the small, minute details, man. This is a game. Of reaction. I mean, you got little to no time to make split second decisions, and you gotta live with the consequences, man. So, man, honestly, I think the presence of Bienemy has pushed Ron, you know, as far as his decision making and giving Ron Eric Bienemy full control and just it made him fall back a little bit, and I like that right now. Still got a hill to climb with me personally in reference to Ron Rivera, but this team's on the right track, man. We can't nitpick everything, man. They've lost two games. They 2-2. They 500 right now. You know, preseason people predicted us to be 0-4 right now. So chill.
Absolutely. So you rocking the TCU gear, man. I'm kind of ask a question with this because. Week one, you go against Coach Prime, the whole show came.
I knew it was coming, man. Listen.
Hey, look though. Yeah. It's still a Washington question, though, I promise you.
No, it don't matter. You good.
After the game, right, you know, the players were like, you know what? Y'all played tough. You got some turnover, you know, new players on the team. You should feel good about it. Like, hell nah, we ain't win. You know, we wanted that game. Everybody's watching one of the highest rated television games in a while. So, similar sentiment here. Is it a moral victory because you went into Philly with a rookie QB, basically, and you played them tough, almost pulled it out? Do you believe in that?
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a moral victory. you know, I'm good with any other terminology that you might want to throw out there. You know, that's more than one way to get it done. But moral victories don't do nothing for you in the league. But I will say this, though. It's not a moral victory, but that team showed me something. Just like they showed me, what they proved to the world, or what they proved to Washington fans, and what Washington fans can hang their hat on is that Denver game wasn't a fluke.
There you go.
That's who they are.
No.
That's exactly who they are.
No, that's a good point. I definitely, so I'm going to talk about like the defense, you know what I'm saying? Because this has been a sore spot for me because you put equity in this, you know what I mean? This is where you put equity in, you know what I'm saying? And they gave up 34 to the Eagles. This is a solid 34. This ain't a 34 with turnovers from the offense. This is a 34.
Right,
you
gave up.
This is a 34 you earn. You earn this 34, right?
Yeah.
So going to like, and they gave up 30 against the Broncos. The Buffalo, you can whatever. That's a little bit, I know, because of turnovers, whatever. Do you feel there's an issue with the defense? And if so, what is the issue?
Hey man, listen. I wouldn't call it an axe to grind. I don't think there's an issue with the defense. I do think there's some issues with the situational play calling.
Okay.
There may be some smoke there, but I hadn't seen enough yet to accuse Del Rio of that. But what I will say is there are players in that defense that oftentimes look lost. Particularly as you know, well, man, I'd be all over that linebacker position, dog. Like if they breathe wrong, cause I'm looking at it scheme wise, everything. I mean, it's hard to get anything past me because I focus on that position. But man, the play of Cody Barton, man, sticks out to me, man. I hate name calling the guy. I know he had a decent year with Seattle last year, and this is really kind of his
in a new system.
His moment, right. To see what he can do in a different system. Was it Seattle system? Was it him individually? And right now, the data saying it was Seattle. Mm-hmm. So, man, he is a man. Jamin's come along a little bit. I like watching him play now. But man, Cody Bard, man, I just don't understand. You know, he don't look aggressive. He don't like. You got to do something good, man.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Like, you play the run good. We could always hang our hat on somebody. Well, on some player, you can always say, hey, they do this good. They need work in this area for improvement, this area. Man, it's hard for me to be critical of a guy playing at the highest level, but I will say he sticks out to me big time. I don't understand his role. I don't understand what they are asking him to do. I will say that too, because it may be something outside of him. But, man, he just looked lost, man. He don't look aggressive at the point of attack. He watching guys run by him and then tackling them. That tells me you ain't really like that. You know what I mean? So that'd be the only weak spot I would see in this defense right now. Obviously the young secondary, they mm-hmm. still got some things to prove, but linebacker play right now is not high.
Yep. So my man Cam said defense is still turning around. It's early in the season. Yeah, they can turn around. This is my thing about the defense. I mean, because it's a trend, right? That I've seen a post on X. Saying like usually Jack starts slow, you know what I'm saying? And I've said I'm gonna be redundant because I've said this on multiple shows, on our show, and on other shows, that there's levels to playing defense. It's cool if you want to be top 10. If you want, because with the talent, if you want to be top 10, that's fine. You want to be top 10, right? That's fine. You coach the top 10 because eventually it's kind of evens out. You're gonna play some teams, right? They're kind of like bad in offense where it can kind of help your numbers with the talent Washington does have on defense, getting sacks. You saw that in Arizona, getting sacks against Arizona. Mm-hmm. But there is an element of you wanting to be the defense, though. Like, you want to be – that means I'm trying to take your lunch money. I'm not trying to give you my lunch money. And I don't think, like, they coach, like, the system for what it is. And so, like you mentioned, like, the system for what it is, they're not coached. It's not put into a play, a point where we're trying to snatch your lunch money. Because even, like, I remember we had Breland on one of our shows, and Breland was like, this is a bend but don't break defense. I was like, ugh,
absolutely.
I don't like that. Right. Like, I don't like that. Right. I don't like that. And I get it with certain talent, certain defenses because of the talent, right? I get that. Like, a Bamba don't break defense. But this is the defense you talk you going into the season. Folks like the safety play. You put equity in cornerbacks by drafting Forbes. The defensive line is stout. You drafted Jamin. Cody Barton is Cody Barton. I've been negative on this dude, period. But you still have enough around to be better than what you are. Instead of like sitting back and saying, okay, we want to see you, you know, take it the length of the field on our defense. How about just taking it away? Like, I'm not giving you nothing. And I feel like they cool with giving up stuff.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Mm-hmm. Defense is difficult, especially you yeah. understand it's an offensive league, man. True. People want to see points scored, people want to see big hit, you know, big touchdown catches, and you know, the big hit's been taken out of the game. It's hard to separate a guy from the ball without drawing a flag. Man, it's an offensive game, man. You can't even sack the quarterback. You got to lay him down with a pillow and all that. You know what I mean? It's an offensive league, man. But I think the saying still holds true that defense wins championships.
Agreed.
So I do think there's something to, like we talked about, having that dog in you. And going out there and taking people, snatching people's soul from them, right?
Nice.
Go out there and take their will to win. I think that second half of Denver, we saw that.
Yes, I agree.
And I think it starts, man, like it or not, that D-line is the heart and soul of that defense. Ain't no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. They're going to go, that defense will go as far as that D-line will take him. Three games, three sacks for Chase Young. Sweat been hit a mess every now and then, but he's still having a decent season so far. Man, they just got to get pressure, man. Teams know that. They're scheming against that defense. So top 10, top 5. Well, Kansas City didn't have a top 10 defense last year. They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's an offensive league, man, and I think offense is the last place, the last key for Washington to figure out and put it all together.
So based on what you're saying, real quick, is this still a defensive football team then?
It's a defensive football team, but it's starting to draw even. If we get another sample size of games that we've seen, like we've seen this past week from Sam Howell, I think the defense will relax. There's something to be said, man. Honestly, you know, when I was playing and, you know, Jason Campbell was a quarterback and John Beck and the whole carousel, Rex Grossman, man, y'all don't understand how deflating it is when you get an interception. I just came off the field. I just played 12, 14 plays. I'm tired, bro. I'm trying to rest up, get ready again, dog. I may have to play some special teams. You throw an interception, you throw a pick. I guarantee ain't no player on that field grabbing their helmet after interception or turnover going, yeah, all right, let's go do this. Like, no, they're like, damn, again? Like, what are we doing? So there's a little bit of, you know, mental fatigue there as well as physical. But if that offense can continue to come out and show what they showed this past week, even in the face of a loss, it'll start to draw even more.
So Washington, they got the Bears up next, man. What do they need to do to get this W? You know, this could be a trap game because a lot of people talking like this is going to be sweet. So what they need to do to get this W?
No, that coverage still need to be tight on the back end. Obviously, don't rush past the quarterback. We know Justin Fields is a tremendous talent with his legs. He still hasn't shown it. He hasn't shown that he's an arm talent. So that's still a test to me. I mean, just given his unique ability to make and extend plays, it's going to be good. And if I'm that D-line, I'm hunting. Like, this is the game to hunt for sacks right here. You know, not much pocket awareness from a young quarterback, but still, again, that ability to move and groove. And don't sleep on Mooney. Don't sleep on Moore and those guys. Yeah. If they get some separation, they can't make plays and they can't hit home runs. I think they'll continue to lean on Herbert in that running game as much as they can. But you're right, this is a trap game from Washington.
So give me your prediction, game prediction. What score?
We score?
Yeah, give me a score.
I see. We put up 30 something last week. I'm gonna say we going 31-10.
31-10. Okay, so you got a defense showing out. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 31-10. That's right. My prediction. Cause I mean, two good back to back offensive weeks hasn't been done yet. And they primed to do so. And people forget offenses typically hit they stride in week 4 and 5. Sure. You know what I mean? It takes a while. So they come along a little bit later than the defense in most cases. So,
man, that's good. I'm gonna be at the game. That's good. I can leave early because that traffic is mad.
Hey, that traffic is crazy. Both the 95 trash.
Listen. Before we let you go, you know, we'll let you know. I joke about this all day. A coach once told us, know the mindset of your opponent. It's a lot of disorganization around that Bears team. As a matter of fact, they're being called the new Washington because
that you know what? Exactly. And
how important is it that you hit these dudes in the mouth early, similar to how you came out in Philly and you struck first?
A good team wins the game they're supposed to win. A good team wins the games they're supposed to win. 100%. If you can't come out and do that, you can't come out and take care of business against a team that you're supposed to beat. We felt the same way against Arizona, right? Like, yeah. Man, why this game so close, man? They playing Josh Dobbs. Why this game so close? Yeah, they exactly. Playing down to their competition.
Yeah.
So you come out, you win the games you're supposed to win. We skated by on that one. We came out against a Broncos team that I definitely didn't think was better than us. Matter of fact, I was still living in Denver when that game went down. So I was gonna be afraid to go to work on Monday if they lost that one. So, but nah, but they supposed to win this game, man, and I think they will. And this is gonna be a coming out party offensively for a couple of receivers. Obviously, Dotson, we thought he would have a immediate impact in year two. I need my man to come along. Samuel did look pretty good already.
Yeah.
I don't understand the Jameson Crowder thing, but I'm going to let him have it. Maybe they know something I don't know.
Look, man, it's better than
that. I agree.
I'll take anything over that, though.
I don't know why they kept him either, man.
I'm trying to figure that out. I don't.
He got somebody news, bro.
He got, yeah, he got. Hey, man, Rob, thanks for being on, man. We appreciate you, homie. Thank you so much for giving us your time, man.
31.
Well, no, man, I appreciate y'all, man. Have a good one.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. Yeah, man.
Hey, listen, bro.
What's up?
That's what people feel. I don't like the 31-10 prediction. That's when it gets scary.
I know. I feel you. I said he scared me with that. Joe Aaron holds you. But anyway, man, Sunday was exciting. But was this right? Yeah, actually, Sunday was exciting. I'm geeking. Sunday was exciting, but the right, you know, I'm stepping up right now. Sunday was exciting, but the NBA dropped a few shockers last week, and I'm going to introduce my homie, my guy. You know what I'm saying? Just Blaze, what's going on, bruv? Just Blaze is the host of the Above the Rim podcast. What's going on, my man?
Yo, fellas, what's going on? Wole, I appreciate the invite, my brother. Ray, nice to talk to you again, my brother. Appreciate the invite, fellas.
Oh, no doubt, man. And before we get into what we brought you on for, we came here for, what was your thoughts when you saw Jimmy Butler, bruh?
I'm not going to lie, fellas. That shit had me laughing. I'm not going to lie. Yo, I'm sitting here. What's going on with Fallout Boy or whatever?
My boy, it's so funny. One of my homeboys growing up, I thought he was trying to throw shade at me. He was like, "What's up with your dark skin folks?" I was like, "Bro, you shut up, dude. I know you're trying to
stop." Absolutely. And remember last year, he already came into the season with dreads last year.
I know. What are you doing?
Weave last year.
Yeah, folks question like, how you grow hair so fast? Like, yeah, Jimmy on one.
Nah, that was the 8 Mile, you know, what you call him? What was the dude name? Makai Pfeiffer joint.
Oh, yeah, Makai Pfeiffer. Yeah.
Papa Doc.
Yeah, the soul. I don't know. Jimmy is wilding, fellas.
Jimmy tripping big time, man.
Absolutely.
Oh man, we got my man Dujan. They already rolling out with this joint. Oh man, yeah. And it's not a game, but yeah, man, it's an exciting time in the NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks acquired Damian Lillard in a 3-team trade with the Portland Trail Blazers and the Phoenix Suns. Portland received Drew Holiday, who ended up somewhere else. We'll talk about that. Unprotected Bucks pick in 2029. And a first round swap in 2028 and 2030. The Blazers get DeAndre Ayton. That's my man, just favorite player.
No, I'm not mad at him. No
okay,
more,
okay, okay.
We're gonna talk about it.
Okay, well, I'll set in Jurcic and Nazir Little to the Suns, and also the Bucks get sent Grayson Allen to the Suns as well. All right, this is the first question. Is Giannis and Dame a great fit?
Absolutely. Okay. I think they're a phenomenal fit. I actually think they are the ideal pairing for each other. Actually, when you look at the way both players play on offense and on defense, but we'll stick to offense right now for particulars. Mm-hmm. They're a match made in heaven. I think what Giannis has always been missing is that small attacking guard that can get his shot from anywhere on the floor. And also can hit a three from anywhere on the floor. We look at Damian Lillard. He's one of the better three-point shooters in the league. Obviously, top three, I think, in my opinion, three-point shooter in the league. He can hit off the dribble. He can spot up. He can do it all. And then, most importantly, he's not fearful in the moment. Now, if we're looking at Giannis, if we're being honest sometimes, if we're over being honest with each other, Giannis has a tendency to get shook at the end of the game, if we're all being honest with each other. Yeah. We've seen him in a few playoff series. When it gets toward the end of the game, it's actually in that Miami series last year. I forgot what game it was. I think it was game 5 or game 6. He had an opportunity to score twice. And at the end of the game, I think it was in the elimination game. He passed up the rock. Mm-hmm. I forgot to who it was. I believe it was Grayson Allen or somebody like that, who with 1 second left to take the shot. When Giannis should it have been no decision other than him taking the shot. So I feel like at times Giannis does have a tendency to be a little bit fearful when it goes toward the end of the game, also because of his free throw shooting as well. Yeah. So having a guy like Damian Lillard inserted to the lineup is just going to make Giannis better, because now it makes him less scared to attack, less scared to make mistakes, because he knows he has somebody better than him on the offensive side of the ball who's not afraid to take those shots. So I love the pairing between those two, especially on the offensive side.
Does it hurt the defense, though?
A tad bit. I think it does hurt the defense a little bit. I'm not going to lie, because come on now. Jrue Holiday is one of the better defensive guard in the league, probably, if not the best perimeter defensive guard in the league. So does it hurt the defense? Obviously, yes, it hurts it on the perimeter. But then again, you think about it. Who are the guards in the East that they really have to really contend with, that so much so where Damian Lillard can't guard any of them? You got Trae Young. He can put up 25 to 30, but you can overcome a 25 to 30 point game, 40 point game from Trae Young. Who else they got? Jaylen Brown. Damian Lillard won't be guarding him anyway. Who else is in the East? James Harden. He wouldn't be guarding him anyway. He would probably guard Tyrese Maxey. And listen, if Dame can't hold his own against Tyrese Maxey, we got a problem there. That means he's not the Dame that we all know. Yeah. Anybody else in the East? Who else are we worried about in the East as guards in particular?
Jaylen Brunson.
Nobody. Jaylen Brunson.
He gets buckets.
What's the name? I believe Malik Beasley or I'm forgetting. Not Middleton because he's playing a three. Malik Beasley. For the Bucks. I forgot the other two. Who's their backup too? Malik Beasley and Wesley Matthews.
He don't matter.
That's the hole in the Bucks lineup is at the two guard spot. So you can either move Middleton down to the two, but I feel like he plays better at the three. And then you have those two guys who are guarding the two opposing perimeter offensive players. So he's gonna have to defend better. I'll tell you that. He's not gonna be able to take possessions off. Because he doesn't have that luxury here, but hopefully, and I think it will, his offense will be so dominant that it offsets any defensive deficiencies that Damian Lillard has. So I think they'll be all right in the Eastern Conference.
So another question then, who's the one? Yeah, who's the one? Is it still Giannis?
Oh, who's the first option? Oh, it's still Giannis.
It's still Giannis. Even though Dame's a better offensive player?
Yes, I mean no. I would disagree. I don't think Dame's a better offensive player. I think Giannis is a better offensive player because he has the ability to be more dominant. I think, especially on the inside. Now we know he got to get better at that jump shot. We know he got to get better at that pull up, Jay. We know he got to get better at that 3-point shooting. We know he's a little shook to shoot those shots. But we also do know that Giannis is going to make sure he gets into the paint, and that to me, I think is most important. That he knows where his bread is buttered. And that's in the paint. So we know at times in the playoffs, he's going to run into a little bit of trouble. But that's where Damian Lillard can be the alpha to take over from Giannis. I don't think Jrue probably was alpha enough on the offensive side to really say, yo, give me the rock and get out of my way. Chill. And that's what they need Damian Lillard to do. So I think Giannis is still one option, but it's like a 1A, 1B type, I think, for the Bucks.
Okay.
How y'all feel about that? You think it's Dame?
I'm different. I'm sure Ray's gonna say it's Giannis. I think it's Dame. I just think Dame is, in terms of a player who just can score easy. Giannis scores easy because he plays bully ball. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But I think Dame, in terms of like those, it's like a Steph Curry thing. It's the heavyweight punch that hurts. And Dame is a crippler.
Impact.
Yeah, he's a crippler. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when he scores in bunches, he can take away your will. It's different. You know, being in Portland, it's a little different the way the team was constructed. So I understand the frustrations in Portland. I thought him and CJ were a good combo, but that's a whole different discussion. But they couldn't defend exactly. But here this team is predicated on defense. Like Milwaukee is still predicated on defense because Giannis is your best player as a defender. Giannis is one of the better defenders in the NBA. And then you have like, so Dame is allowed to do a little bit more. So if you allow Dame to do a little bit more as a scorer, what he does, you know, you gotta guard Dame throughout the court. Like you gotta guard you. There's no break on Dame. Like Giannis, there's a break. Like to be real with you, like I'll sag on you and I can entice Giannis to take that J. You can't do nothing with Dame. There's nothing that you can really take away from Dame if you really want to keep it a buck. Like there's nothing. If Dame is off, he's off. That's the difference, right? Because Giannis is scoring in the paint, so he's going to get a higher percentage shot. So I agree with you in that aspect. But when Dame is going good, there's really nothing you can do with Dame. Like period. You know what I'm saying? So I'm interested to see how it works because I can see, a baller knows a baller, right? So I can see Giannis looking at Dame and being like, man, you can get buckets easy, bro. Like, you can get buckets like that I can't get. And
I think Giannis is going to take a step.
I think so. That's what I'm saying. Like, Giannis will defer. I could see Giannis deferring to Dame comparing to what Giannis would do with Drew and even Middleton. Like, Giannis would defer to Middleton. If Giannis is going to defer to Middleton, what you think he's going to do with Dame?
I agree. So I think Dame will ask for the rock. That's the difference between the two.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see. Like, I do think that in the regular season, this is the thing. I think in the regular I'll agree with this way. In the regular season, I think Giannis will be the best player in the regular season. But in the postseason, when they need clutch buckets and they need all, like, they just need that person to will them through, I think it's going to be Dame. Just like we saw at certain points in Giannis's career, we saw with really, like, Middleton. We'd be like, Dame, who Middleton get more, but getting buckets more consistent than Giannis, and who is Middleton compared to Giannis? So I do think that you have that, but yeah, I have so much respect for Dame's game, so I feel like Dame is gonna get the attention that he wants. He's gonna get what he deserves. Like, I think I saw something that Gilbert Arenas talked about with him and Dame, their conversation, and it was like, you just need to be on that platform when you're winning games and playing a big time. In big time games, and people, the world's gonna know who you are for real. Like, if people know who you are, they're gonna really know who you are. You know what I'm saying? I just think that Milwaukee, because of the team and the way they're constructed, being a good team, I think folks will know who really what Dame's really about.
Interesting. Right. Is this a Kobe and Shaq situation? Because you didn't like Kobe having the ball too much. You wanted Shaq to have the ball.
I did.
You was biased because you weren't really the
But he was Kobe gunning fan, though. See, that's different
Kobe,
though.
Kobe would close though. Kobe
yeah, but he would gun, though. That's different. He closed, but he would gun. That's different. Dame don't
it's
gun.
It's going to be the same. It might be the same. It might be the same, fellas. I'm not going to lie. Dame is a gunner, too.
He gun, Mr. but Dame it's different, though. It's a different type.
I don't think he's passing that rock. I think when it comes down to the end of the game, I think Dame is like, I'm not passing that rock. I'm sorry. I know you're Giannis, but I'm Dame at the same time. And I does this.
It's Dame time for a reason. See, Ray, you ain't had to call me out on the Kobe Shaq thing. That's messed up.
Yeah, no, good. Thank you, Ray. Come on, man. You know Wole be lying out here. Man. Come on, man. You know he be lying out here. You know he be talking shit. Come on. It's going to be interesting, though, at the end of the game. I'm not going to lie.
I am
looking forward to seeing what's going to happen, but I do think they'll have a happy medium. But because Dame brings the ball up, I think he's going to have to make the call, as in, it's my goal. I think in the beginning he's going to defer, but I'll give it about 30 games, to be honest. I give it about 20, 30 games, and then you're going to see normal Dame, whereas in, I'm not deferring anymore because they do need me to be that closer, because they actually do need him to be that closer. So we're going to see. We got to see how Middleton looks, too. That's also a small
That's true. That's
caveat.
What I'm saying. Yeah, from the injury,
if Middleton
right.
is healthy, yeah. if Middleton yeah. is healthy, then he's going to be taking more shots, and he's going to have to be involved in the offense. So I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't be surprised if Dame and Giannis is working out so well that they start to survey the market for Chris Middleton and start to survey and see his trade value. Because if you could get – yes, because if you could get a couple of pieces for Chris Middleton and shore up that two and that three spot, rather than opposed to paying him – I forgot how much he's getting paid, but I think it's like 160 mil.
Oh, he's in the back.
He's getting damn near max. So I think – this is one of my bold predictions, but I think Dame and Giannis is going to work out so well that they may look into surveying the trade market for Chris Middleton. Maybe not trade him that quickly, but I do think they will survey the market if this pairing goes really well, because they could use an upgrade at that two spot, and Chris Middleton will be their main trade piece to be used for that.
I want to talk about a player. We talked about Ayton. That's your guy. You know what I'm saying? So, do you think the Trailblazers will unlock? Yeah. Do you think the Trailblazers will unlock the potential of Ayton?
I don't know if that's a trick question you're throwing at me right now. But you know what's crazy? I actually think Ayton is going to be phenomenal on the Portland Trailblazers. I actually think this situation might be tailor made for him. You know why? Because number one, and most importantly, lower expectations. Lower expectations for Aiden means that he could play more comfortable. He could play more free. They won't be expecting him to play outside of his role. In the Phoenix Suns, they were going to ask him to play outside of his role. They were going to ask him to defend. They were going to ask him to rebound. They were going to ask him to block shots. They were going to ask him to protect the rim, set decent picks. All the shit that he didn't really want to do, that won't show up on the stat sheet. So I think in Portland, it's a fresh start, a renew start for him. Got my man Scoot Henderson over there, who I think is going to be the rookie of the year. Unanimously, I think he's beating Webby out for that. So I think with Scoot Henderson and Anthony Simons, their penetration at the rim, I think it's going to get DeAndre Ayton a lot more easy buckets. And then also a small caveat that we're sleeping on. They got the Time Lord over there right now. So there's two things to that. With them having the Time Lord over there, Robert Williams, they said they're probably going to keep the Time Lord. They said they're going to do lineups with 4 or 5 with DeAndre Ayton and Time Lord in the lineup at the same time, because DeAndre Ayton was asked about that. He said growing up and in college, his natural position was power forward anyway. So he said he has no problem playing with the Time Lord. So that's a big lineup, having Time Lord, DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons, and then Scoot Henderson. I think that's a solid five. I'm not going to lie. That's a solid five if they run out with that unit. Also, you got Shady and Sharpness in there too. But I do think DeAndre Ayton's going to play well, but he's got to get those rebounds. That's always been my issue with him. He doesn't rebound the ball. He doesn't block shots well enough for a center, in my opinion. So that's going to be the key for him. Yeah, that's going to be the key for him. And listen, he's got a lot to prove. So I'm excited to see, you know, what he's going to do. I mean, they should be fighting for a playoff play-in spot, not a playoff, play-in spot. I think they should be fighting for. We'll see. They may surprise some folks, because I got full confidence in Scoot. That's my guy right there. So I think Scoot, I think he's going to kill this year, to be honest.
So for the sake of time, bro, we know Drew Holiday is in Boston now. And from the DMV perspective, I don't know, Wole, if you've seen this, but people like, Do the Celtics think KP is really that guy? Like, is he really going to be a dude that's going to play in the middle, play tough?
Because I forgot they got KP. I keep forgetting. Yeah, they crazy. They deep.
That's the thing. So who's better? Is it the Celtics currently, or is it the Bucks?
Are you asking me or
what? Yeah, man, you the guest, bro. It's you. You the star, bro.
I think they are neck and neck, but to me personally right now, I'm gonna give the edge to the Celtics, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm gonna give edge to the Celtics. I think they're deep, brother. I know a lot of people are sleeping, they're hating on the Kristaps Porzingis take up to the Celtics, but I think he's gonna be excellent on that squad. I think he's exactly what they need, because Tatum can play the 3, he can play the 4, he can play the 2 sometimes, he can handle, he can distribute, he can do it all. So they don't need necessarily a true traditional big as they once had. And remember, they played a lot of time without the Time Lord. So they're already used to playing without a shot blocking center, a rebounding center in that lineup. And I can't even say shot blocking, because KP, he'll get you those blocks. Mm-hmm. And with next to Al Horford, he'll spell a lot of minutes for him.
Yeah,
and what's most importantly is that what the Time Lord couldn't do, Porzingis could space the floor. That's really what they needed, because a lot of times the offense was getting bogged down. They didn't really have a primary distributor, which they still don't really have. So I feel like they still might look into the point guard market, unless they're looking to upgrade Peyton Pritchard, you know, off the bench and have him play a lot more minutes, because they do kind of need a point guard from time to time. But
I mean, backup point guard.
Because Drew Holiday, he's not a true distributor also. He's still a combo guard. Yeah. But I think that lineup is deep. And how do you score on that roster? Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, KP. People sleeping on KP, but he's going to get you them blocks. And he's going to get you
15 easy just off because he don't got to worry about – because you're going to worry about everybody else. And then you – and he does block shots. He is that dude that blocks shots. And also, man, you lost Marcus Smart, but you got a better version of Marcus Smart. That's the thing. You got a better version of Marcus Smart. I'm with you. I think they're better. I give them the edge over Milwaukee. And it's because it's a perfect fit for what they do. It's like the perfect fit. Like, you keep your same brand, but also, like you said, there's more spacing now. Like, Drew Holiday is a good mid-range shooter. He can shoot a 3-ball. He's a good mid-range shooter. And he's a big guard. He can post. There's so much he can do. You got Tatum, Brown.
I'm gonna throw one thing into you to add on to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday is low mileage. He's a low mileage player.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need the ball as much.
He don't need it. He don't.
He doesn't need to hit the two. He can hit three. So exactly what you were saying. Well, like, I agree. He just low mileage, brother.
Yes, and then he's just strapped. Like, you just know you put him on your butt. It's just the perfect. Like, if you were thinking of, all right, what player fits Boston? It's Jrue Holiday. It's just the perfect fit. Like, more than anything, sometimes I know we all get enamored with the star player, a star player going here. But sometimes when a fit is just perfect, that's just a perfect fit. So, to your point about even, you know, KP, I just forgot about KP. Like, the spacing's going to be better. Like, there's just so much. Like, even, like, Jaylen Brown, the slasher, can get more, like, room to go to the basket. And he hasn't worried about his pat being thorough. Like, he can get to the basket a little bit easier because nothing's congested. Even Al Horford, when you have him, he's still picking pops and shoots the three. So, yeah, I'm with you, bro. Like, yeah, they're definitely a different team with it. So, real quick, before we let you go, I will ask about the Suns. You know, it seems like their bench is now built up. Like, are the Suns a dangerous team now? Now they got a bench because of the trade.
Yeah, they are very dangerous, but they also have holes in their roster, as a lot of contenders do. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of the DeAndre Ayton-Nurkic trade because, you know, I understand why the trade was done, because Nurkic will play his role a lot more, which will be screening, rebounding, being a protector at the rim, bringing a big body that they need. But I do think they downgraded in talent in terms of DeAndre into Nurkic, because I'm going to be honest, Nurkic is not really trustworthy in the playoffs. And also, he can be played off the floor in the playoffs by opposing guards. A guard like Steph Curry, a guard like Chris Paul, you know, Scoot Henderson, guards like that. They're going to be able to play Nurkic off the floor, because once the Suns start switching, Nurkic can't guard any elite perimeter guard on the perimeter behind the three-point line, whatever the case may be. He can't guard anybody. I think he's going to have trouble also in pick-and-roll situations. So, but I think the Suns are going to go I think he's going to be on the bench a lot of times in important times, and I think you're going to see a lot of Kevin Durant at center, to be honest with you. I think we're going to see KD at center in these lineups and either bowl with him, Kenyatta Bates, yeah, Jock. You're gonna see a lot of Nazir Little. You know, Bo is my guy.
That's the secret weapon. I love Bo.
Bo is my guy. That's gonna be the secret weapon. Listen, I said on Twitter, a couple people was mad at me that I said it. I said the Suns about to unlock Bo.
I'm hoping, bro.
Yeah, that was the best part of the DeAndre Ayton trade. I think my son Bo is about to be unlocked and unleashed on the Phoenix Suns. I think playing with KD, he has now. He has a prototypical guy that he can learn from, that he can learn how to play the right way. And I think now with the trade of DeAndre Ayton on the lowest of keys, the Suns now have a need for Bobo. They need his shot blocking at the rim. You know, he's not a great shot blocker. We know he's not a great defender, especially on the perimeter, but he can still block some shots.
Well, I'm with you, bro.
And yeah, so that's going to be his main thing. He has to rebound better. He has to bulk up a little bit more. But I think the Suns are going to be playing a fast-paced type of game and really get out and run on the perimeter. So hopefully they can sustain in the paint. If they play a team that's going to slow down the pace and slow down the pace and post up, they may have some trouble. But I still think they'll be all right. They have holes, but then they also have a lot of pros in their roster with their being depth. And they have a lot of 6'6 to 6'9 rangy, versatile forwards that they now can use. So I think the Suns going to be a tough out. We know that already. The Suns going to be at the top of the West.
Man, basketball season is almost here. I'm just so boosted. Hey, man, thanks, man. Thanks, home, for being on. Before we let you go, tell the listeners how they can catch your pod. Plug your YouTube channel, social media. Plug everything, my man.
No problem, brother. Appreciate the invite, of course. My man, Wole, I got to get you on the show soon. My man, Ray, appreciate you talking to you again, fellas. You know it's a pleasure every time you guys invite me on the Urban Sports Scene. I appreciate the love, as always. You can catch Above the Rim podcast anywhere you find your podcast, anywhere on YouTube, on Twitter, at justblaze_513. You can catch me there on IG. It's the same shit. Holla at me. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Fellas, I need y'all on the show because we got to talk some shit. We got a lot of shit.
Hey, bro, man. Anytime.
I got shit to talk about your Lakers, brother.
Okay, we're going to go in. Okay, let's talk. We're going to talk about it, okay? Invite me in there.
Ray, I might have to bring you on for a DC episode, my brother, to talk about them Wizards, man. I might have to talk about that because y'all going to have some tough days going forward. Man. I'm going to have to bring you on to talk about those boys right there.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that, brother. Absolutely. Cool with tough days.
As long as we build the right way. I feel you. I hear that. So thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the invite, fellas. I appreciate it. Man. Check me out anywhere, and I got to have y'all all soon. Much love, fellas.
I appreciate it. You already know what time it is, bro. All right, boy. Hey, man. Oh, man. Basketball season about to be lit, dog. It's going to be lit. But you know, it was lit Saturday. It was lit, dog, man. It was official. But only on the Canelo side. It wasn't lit for Jamel Charlo. It was not lit at all. The smoke wasn't there for Jamel, man. It just wasn't there at all. Let me introduce our next guest, man. Right now, we are joined by host of the Adams Boxing Show, Wayne and Jermaine. What's up, fellas?
What's
and welcome
fellas?
Back to the Herb Sports
Scene.
What's good, man? What's good, bro?
What's good? What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? Ray and
Woe,
what's going on?
We good, bro. We good. Glad to have you back on, man.
Yeah, appreciate y'all, man. We're trying to get the camera and everything right. We're trying to set it up.
Y'all cool.
It's all good. Do y'all realize, though, what happened, though? Because, you know, we kicked it at the Gary Antoine Russell fight. That might have been last time Showtime Boxing came to D.C., fam. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Part of history.
Right. Yeah, with everything. No, so that was the last time.
Possibly, yeah.
It was. Amazon Prime coming out, cuz, right?
Go ahead, man. I don't got no Amazon Prime.
Who would have thought that would Showtime be going to an end like that?
Just go back to HBO, man. What they doing to me, bro? What they doing? They dirty.
It seemed like they bowed out from boxing. It seemed like for the same reason Showtime is boxing. It's really not as lucrative as it's been in the past. I don't know if this has to do with certain fighters or how the promoters is promoting guys, but they're not bringing in the same numbers as some of these guys that come on Twitter and like to say what they bringing in. Maybe y'all getting a little change, but everybody ain't getting their change. So, you know, the whole story ain't really being told, but it's being told now because you got a big network like Paramount, who's like a Power Five company in the entertainment world. If they bow out, then it's an issue. So you have to look at that, you know.
So it's wild because you would think like this year of boxing has been kind of dope, though.
Yeah, it has been, but it hasn't been consistently like that. You know what I'm saying? Like since Mayweather really been gone, especially on the Showtime end, man, they've been really sprinkling little events to try to make it seem like, you know, we doing good, we doing that, but why would Paramount be leaving?
True.
That's the thing. They wouldn't leave if the numbers was right. You know what I'm saying? But boxing is not really that mainstream sport in the United States like it was in the past when in the 90s, early 2000s, the 80s. If this was the 90s, soon as PBC would have even came out with a rumor that they were leaving or Showtime was dropping them or Paramount was dropping whoever, somebody would have picked them up the first day that they were out. You know what I'm saying? It show you that boxing ain't where it used to be because somebody would have got them all instantly. You know, so you'll never see nothing like this happen.
That's crazy.
This is crazy. Wow, man. Al Heyman is partly to blame because of the matchmaking, for real, for real. But, I mean, we could go over it all day. But last weekend, there was an event, of course. Canelo, Charlo, Jermell. And Canelo dominated Jermell, dropped him in the seventh round. You predicted that Canelo would win by decision. Most people did. That's what our prediction was last week. As a matter of fact, the numbers from this fight are going to dictate if Showtime has pay-per-views next year, just for 1 year until the year 2025 comes around. So we'll see what the numbers are. But what was your thoughts on that fight? And did you feel like Charlo? I feel like Charlo wasn't scared, but many people feel like Terrence Crawford. You saw his comments. They feel like he really didn't bring the fight. He came to get paid and stay clean.
I mean, I just think, you know, Canelo just levels above Charlo. And I think Charlo knew that. And so he wasn't about to take any risks. He was just happy just to not get knocked out.
Yeah, I agree.
He checked out after he felt the power, he felt the strength. Yeah. And I think he tried. He threw some good shots at Canelo.
He did.
He did a couple left hooks. You know what I'm saying? I think he checked out. This one is going to be a game and all that stuff. So, he just got up out of there.
Canelo is a machine, bro. But you saw right after that fight, Tank Davis came out and said, don't get it twisted. I'm still the face of boxing. Many are saying, well, the way Canelo dominated Charlo is still Canelo's. And then, of course, we got Terrence who's like, all right, I'm trying to step in. I want to fight Canelo now. Who's the face of boxing right now?
I still give the edge to Canelo. What you say, Wayne? I still think I give the edge to Canelo.
In the black community, it's Tank. Right. Hands down, like we don't stop what we doing really for a Canelo fight, to be honest with you. Really,
that's true. That's true.
You know,
You're right. It's, you know, what I'm, you go down to the local, the basketball court, ain't nobody talking about Canelo, especially in the black community. We're not talking about Canelo
at all.
You know what I'm saying? But Canelo is probably, so if you want to just break it down in sectors, you have to go, okay, throughout the Mexicans, it's clear now. Mm-hmm. And it's the Mexican, then you got the black community, they riding with Tank. It's everybody was just tuned in. It's not, mm-hmm. nobody has really replaced Mayweather. It's just Canelo is probably the closest thing to that.
Yeah. And by Canelo fighting Charlo, it kind of brought the blacks back in it. Because we was kind of off of Canelo, especially when we're just talking about we're talking about community.
Especially from his recent fights.
Yeah,
he was off that wave for a little while.
Dang, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that, bro. So what would Canelo versus Benavidez do for the black community? Because that's more like a global fight.
It's a global fight.
Our core boxing fan do much for, of course, you have.
Do we lose him?
Yeah, it looked like we might have lost him.
All right. No, it's wild when they say, when they talk, like, I would like, yeah, that's an interesting point, though.
Right in the black community.
There you go, they back.
But people going to check it out, just for the fact, it's, like I say, it's a big fight.
Yeah, I wonder how you globalize Tank. I guess he got to stop getting in trouble. so you can market him.
Man. Yeah, for sure. Definitely that.
That is, getting in trouble. That's how you got to market this dude.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah, he's creating that bad boy type image that people like. And a lot of people want him to lose just for the fact that he was linked with Floyd.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And he can't shake that, regardless if they try to say he's not with Floyd or not anymore or not. But you know what I'm saying? Tank definitely is a big super. I look at him as a superstar because I went to his fight in DC. Were y'all at the fight in DC?
No, but I know he was. I know what was happening down there. Folks' cars getting robbed in. It was getting like.
Man, it was crazy. It was like a club.
It was crazy. I know. I heard it was crazy. I heard it was crazy, though.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, bro. I mean, Floyd is so hard to replace. Floyd rocked a sombrero to the ring. He over in the UK, and him and Ricky Hatton, they both talking.
Man,
everybody's booing him. They wanted to hurt him, bro. Floyd was the best marketer I've ever seen in my lifetime. You know what I mean? I think Ali, of course, was before us, but yeah, I don't know, man. But I didn't even
the biggest
think about
draw to me that's, ever that's has been point. Like the biggest draw to me ever. I mean, Floyd's a big draw, but only because it was Mike. Because Mike will lose and still be the biggest draw.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, Canelo beating Charlo, that was a 19th world champion he defeated in his career. Like, that's crazy to think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is. I mean, it shows you his resume. His resume is second to none in the game of boxing. A lot of these guys really don't have that, even a resume even close. But that shows you that he takes on credible opponents. I know we kind of critique him and be like, man, well, this guy really ain't a top three, but if he's fighting a top six guy, that's still good.
Bro. Still good.
Compared to what these other guys do.
I'm telling you. I got so much respect for Canelo. I do. I'm not one of them people who be like, oh, he don't fight. Like, he fight people, man. He may not fight the person I want him to fight sometimes.
Right,
he fight
at that certain time, he might
you
not
know what
fight.
Like I want him to fight Benavidez. Reyno, I want him to fight him. I want him to fight Benavidez. Like, now, I don't want to hear this talk. You got to fight him ASAP. But when you look at the resume, like, it is what it is. Like, I don't care what folks try. You can hate. That's just hate. You know what I'm saying? You just got to acknowledge, like, out of all, in the era of boxing, when we complain that people don't fight people, old boy fight people.
He does.
And he fights them. And that he fights
number one guy at the time. That's all.
Yeah, and he fight them at their prime. Ain't like he fighting them when they done. He fight them when they still ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You may not like the outcome of, oh, you may say, like, you know, Triple G, you may think Triple G had beat him or whatever, but he fighting that dude. Like, he is fighting that dude. He's not saying.
Still beat a lot of guys?
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think Triple G might have beat Charlo. Charlo fought Canelo. I wouldn't surprise Triple G beat him.
Right now, huh?
It wouldn't surprise me at all, man. He can't take Canelo power. Triple G can crack too.
Yeah,
true. So what's next for Jamel then?
I think he should probably consider going to 160. If we go back to 154, that's fine. But I think he should definitely go back down. He shouldn't stay at 168. What you think, bro?
I think he should go to 160. But politics is involved. I wanted to see him against guys like Janet Beck. I think Adam is, he can fight that guy.
There's a lot of unknown, like a lot of people don't know these names because these guys are not as popular like that. But there's a lot of good fighters at middleweight. But he said he want to go back down to 154 where he has three belts. Now they took one belt from him.
Yeah.
He got stripped. So, I mean, seems like 154 is his move.
Maybe he can get that Mendoza and Zoo winner. Okay. And that's always still out there.
What's a non-name dude that would be a good fight? Would be a good entertain a good challengeable fight, not a fight that like an easy fight for him, but a good challengeable fight that one of the guys you just mentioned that folks don't know about.
For Jamel,
I think Fedora.
That's a good fight. That's
I never
a good
thought
fight.
About that one.
That's a really good fight. You got a guy that he knocked out already, Lubin. Lubin might want that rematch, but you know they don't do rematches like that because he got knocked out bad.
And he really didn't win his last fight, but that's okay. Continue. Yeah, he really didn't win his last fight, but that's a whole different discussion.
You know what I'm saying? So that's so those are names, but he, you know, so it's a lot of different names out there that's floating around. But is he going willing to take that risk and take him on just after getting this big old payday? He might be real picky about who he fight now. He might got Hollywood now, so we don't know. You know,
you think Jamel will go Hollywood after that performance?
He already kind of said it.
Yeah,
real talk. There's nothing to go Hollywood off of. I know you're getting paid, but ain't nothing to go Hollywood off of. I mean, I like Jamel. There ain't nothing to go Hollywood off of that, John.
I know.
Yeah, ain't nothing. That's not like sometimes when you take the L against a supreme boxer, if you just kind of not say you go down in your shield, but when you can compete, then people acknowledge you. Then just like, you become a household name. You kind of be like, all right, you competed against that dude. But this one was like, you know, I mean, anytime you got critics that say like you just went in there and just to get paid, that's a problem. Like that is a problem. I don't care what it is. It's a boxer, it's a problem.
It is a problem. So, almost.
I don't know how he can get just because you fought Canelo. I don't see how that's a thing to say. All right, you could be Hollywood. You still gotta accomplish something in that fight. Not to say you gotta win, but you gotta accomplish something in that fight to be Hollywood when you weren't Hollywood before.
He's really like acting like he got a moral victory. I'm a big bad guy that took the challenge and I lasted. The other guys got knocked out, stopped, bloodied up. He's going to use that as his bargaining tool going forward. I lasted with Canelo.
Yeah, you know. What I would argue to say that Caleb Plantler looked more of a soldier against Canelo than him.
Yeah, he fought a better fight. Fought a way better fight.
I would make the argument that like he tried to mix it up. Like Caleb wasn't scared. He tried. Like he didn't want to. He felt his power and he didn't back down. He got his butt whipped, but he didn't back down though. You know what I'm saying? Like he wasn't running. He wasn't like Jamel ran for some of that fight. Like they can call it moving, but he felt his power and he was like, I ain't trying to feel this 24/7. Let me move around. Let me get away from the corner or whatever. And it's boxing, but it wasn't like he was trying to get and trade blows with Canelo. Caleb was cool with trading blows with Canelo. He was cool with it.
Caleb actually won round versus Canelo. Caleo might only won one top.
One round. Yeah, exactly. So I would make the argument to say, like, if you want to say who's somebody who looked better in a defeat, I would say Caleb looked better in defeat compared to than Jamel.
Oh, I agree 1,000%. Well, didn't tell Jamel that
Derek James told him he was losing and told him he needed to step it up.
And he still didn't do it.
I think he checked out already. He wasn't trying. Mm-hmm. The trainer advice didn't mean nothing to him at a certain point in that fight.
Mm-hmm. At all.
You know what I'm saying? Right. He already had it mentally. It almost sounded like he had his post-fight speech almost sounded like it was already written before the fight. Because he was too clear-cut but with everything he was saying. I was like, wait a minute, you ain't just come up with that just instantly. You know?
You want to do the film study, right?
You watch
the film study, and then you run it back. You get your analysis. It's always spot on. Because I said this last week, the common opponent between these two was Austin Trout. Both Canelo and Jermell beat Austin Trout. But Austin Trout looked much better against Canelo than Charlo did. Charlo beat Austin Trout.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Yeah, what's his name? Trout was a little bit long in the tooth at that time. He wasn't really the same no more. He was still good, but he took some, you know, he had his tough fights the time Charlo got to him. I actually thought the fight that Trout had with Canelo was really close. If from first watch, I had Trout winning by like one.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
But then I watched it again. I said it could have really went either way.
Mm-hmm. So you're trying to say, so Trout, when Trout fought Charlo, that he was in a different place in his life.
Yeah, Trout wasn't the same guy no more. He gave out some licks too, but he was a little bit long in the tooth time Charlo got to him.
Then Trout got stopped by Lara, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he got stopped by a guy that don't really stop that. You know, so
that's true.
So we talked about Charlo. All right, I mean, Ray and I, we want him to see Benavidez next. I mean, in terms of Canelo, we want him to see Benavidez next.
He got to get past Boo Boo, Andrade, but I hope it seems like everybody's looking past Andrade already.
Oh, I am. I ain't gonna hold you. I am. I'm that person. Yes, I am. I am looking past him. I am that person. You can. I raise my hand. I own it. I am looking for. This is. It's gonna be nasty work. That, in my opinion,
it's a marketable fight. It gets you out of your seat more. I don't think really too many people want to see Demetrius Andrade fight Canelo. Even if he went, I think people would kind of be disappointed, hoping that better see this win anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Look, man, I'm on this side. It could be a robbery. I need a robbery. I need to make sure. I need Canelo Benavidez. I want him to see his boogeyman. You know what I'm saying? Canelo.
I think it's the perfect.
I think Canelo know. You know, so he know. Like, this is different. You know what I'm saying? This is a different type of boxer. This dude is bigger. He's stronger. You know, Canelo got an iron chin. Like, that thing real. That dude something else. But yeah, like,
barely even stumble off of him.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying that this. But Benavidez is a different animal. Like, this is a different animal. You know what I'm saying? So
he is.
That's a fight. I think that Canelo's been taking his time for a reason. Like, he know this.
Okay, yeah. I do think he will fight him. He has two fights left with PBC, and I think one of them will be Benavidez for sure. I would say at least 90%. I think is one of them's going to at least be Benavidez.
Do you think the Bud Crawford Canelo talk is just BS, or do you think it's like?
I think it's all smoke screen. I think Bud would fight him. I think Bud would take the challenge. I just don't think Canelo is that interested because. He made a statement, you know, criticizing Bud's resume. And for a guy that's already bigger and makes way more money, why would you need to take that route with the resume? That's just like it's like an extra guy, like beating a dead horse. You didn't have to take that route. You could have just simply said, yeah, the guy's just too small for me. What are you guys talking about? Yeah, why would you go to his resume?
Yeah, he's interesting.
It's a low blow.
I don't think he need to talk about the resume because Bud right now is a hot product.
Right,
like in terms of money, this is good for you. Like you're right, because I'm like right now, just Bud is the hottest. The hottest Bud has been. Bud is one of the hottest boxers, period, just because of that win.
Yeah, like, he is. But you know what I'm saying? He shot it down, like to tack that man resume like that when you already multiple weight classes bigger, you're three weight classes up from it, and you make way more money than Bud. You didn't have to go the resume route. The fact that you took that route, you was trying to stump that whole scenario.
Yeah.
All you had to do was say, "Yeah, he's just too small." Why are we talking about that?
Interesting.
And then then nobody could. What response can you really give to that?
True. Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing you can really say.
You know.
Nothing you can say. That's wild. Yeah, looking at because I don't think like for Bud, there's no need to even have that type of argument because again, this is like Bud is now one of them in terms of the market. In terms of being marketed, he's one of them right now.
He is. He's one of them right now, like you said, bro.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, all right, speaking of, like, you know, so a fight that everybody want to see, it's been reported that Tyson Fury and Usyk have signed contracts for an undisputed heavyweight championship fight in Saudi Arabia. The word is it will happen in the winter. Are you surprised that we're finally going to get this? And we're going to pretty much get this pretty soon.
Well, I'm shocked because the heavyweights, it seems that they've been quiet too. You know,
big time, bro.
Yeah, we've never gotten Joshua versus Fury. I thought that was a fight that could have happened. Joshua versus Wilder, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm just happy that we actually finally have a big heavyweight fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you, Ray?
The heavyweight division needs this. It really does. I mean, y'all know we all from the same era, man. The heavyweight division was crazy for years. So I'm glad Tyson Fury is finally doing this, especially considering he's getting ready to fight an MMA guy. We're just trying to figure out, fellas, like what's the best venue? What's the best venue for this fight to take place? Is it Saudi Arabia?
I mean, I don't think it's Saudi Arabia. I mean, but you know, they got that money. They just tossing money at guys over there. Of course, I would love to see a big heavyweight fight in America, but the Saudis, man, I don't know where they're getting this money from, somewhere under the ground somewhere, man, because I ain't never seen them interested in boxing ever before. They ain't never been in boxing like that. So I'm trying to figure out, where is this interest coming from?
It's money. That's what he cares about.
Yeah, man.
You know what? The wild thing, you're right. I just feel like, I mean, I know, like, because it's wild. Saudi, it's funny on a different topic, like in terms of like like wrestling, like they pay a lot for that too. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm not surprised you're gonna pay for pro wrestling. You're gonna pay for a high level boxing fight, right?
Yeah,
that was the back of my mind. But then I'm thinking, just in terms of viewership and for pay per view buys, because people got to stay. I mean, that time frame is different. You had a fight of Usyk and Fury of that caliber, you want to kind of make it a whole event. And I know they're not American boxers, but they're still the best boxers in the game in terms of the heavyweight division. The heavyweight division still at the end of the day, it is the division when you got quality dudes. You know what I'm saying? These are two quality dudes. You know, yeah, not like you want, and I don't care what your race is, what your background is. If you watch boxing, like boxing, this is a fight that you want to happen. You've been wanting to happen. You know what I'm saying? So I would have preferred for this fight to be in Vegas. I mean, I guess Vegas doesn't have that allure anymore in terms of like we're going, especially if you're a European or you're a foreign boxer, you're always open to fight outside of the United States of America. But I just think this fight could be dope in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? That vibe and that excitement of, you know, it would be something totally different because at the end of the day in boxing, the genesis of, well, the home of boxing has always been like Vegas. You know what I'm saying? If you got a big fight, you should you would want it to be in Vegas.
But and the thing about that though, what was the thing about that is back then when you had a guy like Don King and Bob Arum controlling these heavyweights and stuff like that, these American guys, so they wasn't really looking to try to throw everything in Europe and Asia and all that stuff. I mean, Don King did his few little events in Africa and the Philippines and stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they still was about making big fights in America. Now you got a guy like Frank Warren, who's a British guy. You got Eddie Hearn. They're about making things on their side of the hemisphere. They're not tripping about just making everything over there in America. Because they kind of almost competing with the Al Haymans and the Bob Arums and all these other small American promoters. So they want to keep things on their side of the hemisphere.
It's wild. Like, I think that when I heard it was in Saudi Arabia, I was like, oh, come on, man. Now folks got to be like, that's like in the afternoon. Like, nobody got time for that.
I want my heavyweight fight coming on when it's dark outside.
Yeah, I'm saying. How you gonna have a fight party in the afternoon? Who do that? What do they do that?
People ain't even got off work yet, man. Yeah. Birthday parties going on.
Folks got some folks gonna be with their kids. Like, what they do that at? Like, this is a heavyweight fight. Like, what we doing?
I don't really care for it. I'm gonna watch it, but I want heavyweight fight when it's dark outside and the street lights is on.
I'm with you. So if you got this fight, are we gonna see Joshua Wilder?
It almost seemed like they have to make that happen. If you're gonna make this happen, you gotta bring in this one too.
You think it'll be inevitable? That's been brewing for a long time.
Yeah,
you guys could have fought 8-9 years ago.
Yeah,
but I still watch, and I think it's the second best fight they can make in the division.
I agree. So where do you think that fight would be at? I'm just guess your guess. Where would that fight be at?
It's like you probably gonna lose your money if you bet on anything outside of Saudi Arabia. Next fight will be England.
England, I think London. I'm thinking too. I'm thinking like they probably put it in London. They probably would.
Look, look, y'all gonna have to, you know, get y'all passports and go over there.
I know you ain't lying, bro.
I ain't doing it, bro. I'm sorry, bro. I'm saying I don't trust it. You know what I mean? I'm gonna need some incentivized, and I'm gonna need some promises made before I go, man. Set in stone, written before I make that move, bro.
If I'm making that move, they gotta have everything laid out for me. Give me the presidential treatment. Me do all that.
Man,
I go with De La Hoya. I'm a ride with him, bro. He get out of everything, so I'm. Hey, man, go ahead, bro. You got BoMack in jail. Oscar had drugs on him and everything, man.
That's a good point, Ray.
Oh, you crazy, man. You are crazy.
Got Oscar love, man.
Yeah.
Hey, before we let y'all go, though, what y'all think about Carmelo Moten? Like, you see that 30-punch combo that dude let loose?
Yeah, I seen a little
Mayweather boy?
Like a 6-7 year veteran, the way he was just throwing the punches like that.
Yeah, Mayweather. You saw Mayweather boy, right?
Yeah, Carmelo Moten.
Yeah, I heard he the next one, the new tank.
He tough. He looked like tough.
I heard he's the new tank. I heard he's the new tank. I heard he's the new protege. He's the one.
Yeah, it seemed like Floyd ready to make him a millionaire within a year or two. That's what he said. So I mean, he must about to make him fight 15 times a year then.
Yeah.
So how is that gonna happen? But we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, I got you. I've been trying to get Earl to get with Floyd, man. After that whipping, but. He need to get with Floyd. Floyd does wonders for these cats.
Yeah, that would be That'd be really beneficial for him.
Yeah, man, because James ain't cutting it right now. Hey, before we let you, hey, like Ray said, before we let you go, let our listeners know how you can catch your content, catch you on social media. Also, when I'm talking about your content, it's your stuff on YouTube and your boxing breakdowns.
Oh, yeah, definitely follow us on Adam's Boxing Show at Twitter, man. Very active on Twitter. Got one of the best boxing Twitters on the net, man. Definitely.
Facts. Facts.
No, you know, we still got the YouTube as well, man.
Yeah, we under construction on YouTube. We're getting ready to drop some real good new stuff coming soon on there, but definitely get us on YouTube and Twitter, Adam's Boxing Show.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all again, man.
Hey, appreciate y'all, man. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying? We done with Saudi Arabia. We get something in Vegas. Yeah. All right, folks. All right, y'all take it easy, man. Right,
take it easy, right, Ray.
Well, appreciate y'all. Hey, man, great, man. Yeah, man. Hopefully we get. Yeah, that Saudi Arabia stuff. They be doing that way too much, dude. I'm a foreigner. Well, I'm born here, but my folks are foreign. I got foreign ability. You know what I'm saying? And I want stuff in Vegas. I want stuff in Vegas, bro. You know what I'm saying? I want it in Vegas or even New York. I'm cool with Brooklyn. Brooklyn cool. I could do that too.
As long as Eddie Hearn is involved or Bob Arum, it's a chance that could happen. So I wouldn't be shocked if Saudi Arabia is the venue.
Yeah. I mean, it's big money. I mean, I get it. It's just that I just feel like the vibe. As a boxing fan, it's always a little different from Vegas, but it is what it is. Hey, man, this has been a great show. Hey, make sure before we end the show, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, tune in iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, hit us up on X. Just tweet us at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just click, hit the red subscribe button. Also like this video. Also make sure you check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amppire Media, at amppiremedia.com. This show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amppire shows as well as other great content. All right, man, this has been a great show. Great guest. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Deuces, A Mega. Lead us out, big homie.